Eretz Yisrael, Amrim Shema Yisrael.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, now in its 20th year, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, currently marking its year of dedication. Our special dramatic program today, His Excellency of Vilna, was written by Irv Tunick and is presented in memory of the late Professor Louis Ginsberg on the 10th anniversary of his passing.
As I walked through the iron gate, past the two stone pillars that flanked its sides, I thought, he passed this way. This ground I walk upon, he walked upon it too. For a moment I stood and tried to see what he had seen, tried to make my eyes pretend that the world was not of my time, but of his. 200 years flicked away in the tremor of an eyelash. And then I spoke to a little man who sat on a stone bench, reading from a thumb-creased book. He was a little deaf, or perhaps much too absorbed in his reading to hear my question when first put.
What did you ask? Did you ask something?
I'm sorry. Have I disturbed you?
Probably. What is it you want?
I'm a stranger.
That's obvious.
I'm from America.
Oh. How are things in America?
Good.
Then what are you doing in Poland?
I'm on, well, I suppose you might call it a pilgrimage. For many years now, I've read about the Vilna Gaon. Somehow, well, it's hard to put this into words, but somehow I've come to love him. Love his memory, beyond anything else in the world. I suppose this sounds foolish to you.
Oh, my friend, what you have said would not sound foolish to anyone in Vilna. We all love the Gaon.
Then you can understand. I've come all the way here to Vilna just to see the city in which he lived. The house he lived in. The synagogue in which he worshipped. Will you show me his synagogue?
Come, I'll take you there. It's the first synagogue on the left. The one with the gabled porch.
We came into a room of velvet quiet. A deep room with softness in the air. A room almost bare of decoration. Crowded with feeling. It radiated some mystic flow that clasped your hands silently and made you welcome. The little man lit a candle and then walked into the room.
This was his chair.
A plain chair, but solidly built.
This was his desk.
A plain table, but of solid oak.
Here he studied and meditated in solitude.
I saw him in the candlelight. His sweet face alive in the dancing illumination of the flame. For time it was immeasurable. I stood in the presence of the Gaon and found peace. Thank you for bringing me here.
Oh, I was coming here myself. I come often whenever I am disturbed. Then I come here.
This synagogue seems very old. How ancient is it?
It's not as old as some of the synagogues around the Schulhof. The great synagogue was built in 1573, but this building was not erected until 1800.
Oh, I see. You must be mistaken.
No, 1800.
But that's impossible. The Gaon died in 1797.
Yes, that is right.
And this synagogue was built in 1800?
Yes.
Yet, you say that the Gaon worked here? Studied here in this room at that desk?
Yes.
Well, how can that be? How could he have studied in this room if the building was not in existence at the time of his death?
People here believe it because the place and the person are one, even from the beginning of creation.
the peoples of the world, men are honored, their memories revered for various reasons. In one land, the memory of a navigator is hallowed. In another, it is a composer of songs. But among some people from time beyond history, the place of distinction, the role of the hero, is played by the scholar. Reputations are measured not by the square miles conquered, but by the quality of the words written and the wisdom recalled. Among the Jews, then, the name of the Gaon is as everlasting as a rock. He was a torch, a beacon, and he shone with such brilliance that not even the shade of centuries has dimmed his light.
A little while together will we play, and then to school a child must quickly go, where he will learn the Torah's happy way, and good reports to us daily flow.
Mm-hmm. Is he asleep, Trine?
Just now.
Let me look. Oh, just look. He's beautiful.
As beautiful as an angel.
What will his name be?
Because his grandfather Elijah was known as the saint. And because my little one, too, has the look of a saint. Therefore, we shall call him Elijah. May he walk forever in the path of God. Amen. Amen.
The city of Vilna in the province of Lithuania, in the kingdom of Poland, was an oasis of Judaism in the wilderness years of the Jewish exile. Here, by some unaccountable concatenation of circumstances, in the midst of flourishing prejudice, constantly battered by mean little laws and spiteful restrictions, by recurring persecutions and bloody massacres, here, on this utterly impossible soil, here grew a fortress, a rampart of Judaism. And here, Elijah ben Solomon, Elijah the son of Solomon, was born in the Hebrew year 5480, corresponding to the year 1720. At the age of 6.5, Elijah was so far advanced in his studies of the Bible and the Talmud that he delivered a learned discourse, as taught him by his father, in the great synagogue. Later, on the afternoon of the morning on which he had spoken, many guests gathered at his father's house to congratulate the boy. But there was one guest, Reb Heschel was his name, who was pleased but hardly impressed. He said to Elijah,
"Well, my son, that was quite a good speech you made.